Friends with differences.
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 Welcome to the Friends with Differences podcast. Chelsea Stead, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was fun. Covered a lot, including topics like your big new life career move, your comedy career so far, what you got going on, what shows you have coming up.
Our upbringings, you in the Catholic space, me in the Baptist space, just our differences with the, you know, our experiences with the clubs, comedy clubs in general.
Yeah. Yeah, what we're, like, going for with comedy, what we're trying to get at.
Yeah, content restrictions.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Super fun. And then doing comedy and being political as well, so yeah. just walking that fine line. It's a great time. Thank you for having me.
What a time. Well, thanks again for coming on, and enjoy the episode. Cheers to the Friends with Differences podcast.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hot start. Been a while. Wow. Chelsea, thank you for coming on. Man, I already feel like ranting and telling a story. But we used to do this shop like every episode. Co-host Liam. He would say hot start every episode. And it's been a while since I've done a shout out at the start of the episode, so it felt good to bring that back.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, thanks for coming on. I'm excited. This is going to be fun. This is episode 31.
Reggie Miller.
Yeah, you are one of the biggest Pacer fans I know, I feel like.
100%, yeah. Just went to the conference game. Awesome.
Yeah, that was a sick game. I got to watch it with my brother at B-Dubs. Awesome time. My parents were there. Cold out.
Yes. And Pacers won.
Yeah, big time.
Blowout against Milwaukee. But Milwaukee without Dame, so.
Yeah, and what? Rumor has it he's going to be back for, like, the third game or second
game? Yeah, game two or three. He was talking smack to Haliburton during the game. Pascal got a technical for that, so.
Yeah, I just saw that in an interview. I don't know if I just missed that during the game. I might have been driving at the time.
It was like, partially during, I think, one of the commercial breaks. Like, it started happening, and then I think they cut to commercial. It was really weird.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how much you miss not being at the game.
Yes, truly.
Well, that's cool. We're recording this, it is Easter, 420.
420 Easter, yeah.
What a holiday. I feel like, quite the buzz around town. You're ditching town. I think everybody's excited. No, I'm just kidding.
I definitely think there's some people that will dance on my grave as I leave.
But, you think so?
I think so. There's some haters, but I definitely think there's like a bigger majority than I realize that want me to stay. I am relocating to Northwest Indiana. That is what Evan is alluding to. But it's gonna be it's just more people like the post than I ever thought I had friends on Facebook. So.
Yeah, that is impressive. I mean. There was definitely a ton of comedians in the comments that were like, we'll miss you.
Yeah, you're the light of the scene. I'm like, bro.
Apparently the scene is just barely hanging on, and without you, I don't know what we're going to do.
I know. Pat Murray said we're going to lose one of four female comedians we have on the scene.
Oh, that's tough, but man, that might be true. Is that true? I couldn't name more than four, I don't think. Well, no, maybe.
I think there's more than four. It was just a, you know, like a overestimation sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm facing two of them in the roast battle, so.
Yeah, this dude, you, like, beat down a woman Chris Brown style.
verbally.
This roast.
Verbally. It's verbal violence.
Yeah, verbally, yes, not physically. But he kind of buried another comedian named Marissa during that roast battle Kevin King hosts.
Yeah, I need to have Marissa on the podcast just to, like, feel better about every joke I said. I just love Marissa as a comic, too. But
yeah, she's great. She's very funny. Good.
Yeah, we had a great time, like the call where we just were, like, swapping information. Just, like, swapping dirt about each other. That was quite a fun call. Just, like, telling the worst things about each other.
Oh, interesting. So you did, like, a discovery call?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I was driving to Go Bananas, and I told her, just, like, call me whatever after work. I'll be on the road. It'll be cool. And then I was like, yeah, do you want to do this, like, interview style? Like, should we do, like, 20 questions? And then, I mean, she really took the lead and just started saying her life and points led, like, I don't know, just gyms to comedy, I guess. And yeah, we just, like, took turns saying horrible things about each other ourselves, and then just used all of that. I didn't get to, like, write stuff down because I was on the road, so there's a lot of mental notes.
She just internalized her trauma.
There was, I mean, I hate to out myself, but a couple of things I jotted in the notes app real quick at a gas station when the car was fully stopped.
Gas station copywriting.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
But it worked out. Yeah, I want to have Maya on, like, before the next roast to do, like, because instead of doing the call, why not just, let's do a whole podcast.
Yeah.
Just talk about it and put that out. Get some buzz going for the show.
For the next one, yeah.
I'm excited. There were people in the roast battle, like, Facebook chat that were like, Chelsea should roast somebody. I don't know if you're in that or not, but your name was thrown around for sure.
I know, and I'm just not a roast comedian. I did one roast, and I don't just think it was very poorly run.
Oh, really?
It just, like, it spun into just comments about, like, my body, which I'm not really, like, cool about. Like,
yeah.
I feel like when you do a roast, you kind of discuss, like, hey, this is kind of off topic or...
For sure.
Or not, and it was more of, like, you do your set, and then the audience gets, like, slips of paper to write roasts about you, and then you have to read your own roasts.
Oh, that's horrible.
And there was no one in the audience, so it was just all these male comics writing, like, what they felt about me.
And then you had to read it for them?
Yes.
This is...
So stuff about running a train on me, stuff about Chelsea's a vegan, but she looks like a pumpkin squash. Like,
oh my god.
Just, like, the absolute worst things that your peers can think and write about you was what was written about
that's
me.
That's did you get paid?
No, it was a free show too. So I had to, like, I, like, went home crying.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I came to a free show and I came back with, like, trauma. So I've been a little bit, I wanna definitely judge. I think Kevin's gonna let me judge that next one. So I'm excited to judge. Like, I'm kind of dipping my feet in the roast world, but not as, like, jumping into it yet. Just as a, I'm still licking my wounds from that one per se.
Yeah, I'm pretty head down. I want to win this thing for sure.
After seeing you, I'm, like, even more scared. You obliterated that comic, so I don't want to go against you for sure.
I was slightly concerned after that night where people were like, that was scary. That was concerning. It's like, I'm sorry. It worked. I don't know. Yeah, like, the thumbnail for the page was like... has me, big letters, doing the Stratton Smith headshot, right above my head. It says, like, I can't believe he said that. And, Yeah, I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah, I really hope, like, the winner gets a actual title belt. So I'm hoping you get that so I can take more pictures with that.
It's so sick. It would be cool,
like, going up here somewhere. Oh, like, it'd be so good
for the podcast. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
If you want. You gotta, like, lock in for next round.
I told you, I was writing roast during mass today. I really can't help myself. It reminded me, I didn't have a marker on me, but I don't know if I told you this stupid story, but at Christmas Mass, I started comedy in October, and it was December, as it was Christmas. I went to Mass with the family. I'm a creaster.
Okay.
And,
Christmas Easter?
Christmas Easter. That's so fun. Yeah, you know about creasters? It's what my mom would call me. These are people that just go to Christmas or Easter. They're not looked at to be the best Catholics, for sure. But, so the last time I was at Mass was Christmas, and, I don't know, Mass was just happening, and I was thinking of jokes, but I couldn't, like, get on my phone to write them down, which was my method at the time. So, like, I just had a marker in my pocket, and I was just discreetly writing stuff on my arm, like, during Mass.
Like, just paper. Yeah.
Just, like, code words and stuff. I'm sure none of it made the cut. I don't know if I did. I'm sure I had a joke or two that was born from that, but
a lot of it was scrapped. Divine intervention helping you write some jokes.
Yeah, and we went to, like, it was a Mass Christmas Day. No, I think it was Christmas Eve, but, like, the school puts on, like, a reenactment of the night Jesus was born. It's all these kids are, like, coming out as, like, sheep, and there's Mary with Joseph and a baby, and, like, somebody plays the star that comes in the night sky, and every year people laugh. And I don't know if it's supposed to be funny or not.
I feel like every comedian wants to be the star. Yeah. That's their, like, goal in life.
It's definitely, I feel like, I think one of the teachers decides, but I think it's a popularity contest, for sure, yeah. To see who gets to be the star, for sure. It's a metaphorical and physical star.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we were kind of touching base on religion before. Yeah, I went to Catholic grade school in high school. That's fun to advertise.
That's crazy. I was a Baptist kid. So Southern Baptist. I was baptized. Actually, I had a failed baptism first.
What does that mean?
So
you, like, didn't accept it, or?
I had a baptism scheduled, and the Saturday night before the baptism, my older brother calls. And he goes, "Hey, Chelsea, you got a baptism tomorrow." And I was all excited about it. I'm like, "Yeah, Johnny, like, I'm going to get baptized." And he goes, "Hey, Chelsea, did you know when they baptize you, they're going to hold you under until you stop breathing?"
This is your older brother?
This is my older brother.
Sure.
Oh. Who told me that the pastor's going to drown me.
Your baptismal waterboard.
And it wasn't just me getting baptized. It was my little brother, too. So they put us in, like, a plastic sheet dress, like, to go get baptized. And okay. It's me and my little brother standing, like, outside this, like, hot tub thing. And I told my little brother just before we got on stage that he's gonna try to drown us. So this poor pastor had not one, but two screaming kids. Oh, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me.
That's crazy. He's probably, so he, like, called, you need an exorcist, yeah, or something.
So he called it off. He's like, "I don't want to put your kids through that." My mom was so mad at my brother for that.
That's crazy. What a wild prank.
Yeah. Oh. My older brothers are evil.
You're gonna drown? How much? What's the difference? How much
older? Oh, they were like 10 years. So he was like 16. I was like 6.
Wow. That's a little evil, dog. It was super evil. I mean, that's going to be hard to explain to the big guy. No.
He's going to put me with the creasters in heaven. Yeah,
for sure. Damn. That's a harsh story. One of the wildest things. I think I told it recently. I don't know if I told it to you or not, but one of my newer friends is grew up Mormon, and they do a lot of baptisms. Like, and I heard that they do baptisms for those who have passed. So they like baptize people in place of them, or like as representatives for them. And so, like, he told a story about like one time where he was baptized like 100 times in a day. For like 100 people that have passed away. Just dunking in the water a bunch. I don't know. That seems... I don't know. Religions have some odd rituals. For sure.
I'm saying this right now. The only person that can be baptized for me when I die is Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah. I'm good. I don't think I need a baptism when I die. I'll be alright. Take me...
A proxy baptism is crazy, though.
Yeah, just to, like, help them get through purgatory or something.
Like, I'm in hell, and then someone baptizes me, like, post-mortem. Yeah, like, oh, by the way, Chelsea, you're out of here.
Congrats, you got a rep. Baptized
for you. Like, someone let you in the club. Like, who do you know here?
Does Baptist in, like... Christian Catholic Christians, like, I went through like a confirmation process in high school. Is there a confirming your baptism? Because that's what confirmation is.
No, just baptism. Like, that's it. Once you're in, you're in. Once you're in, yeah. Like, I don't think I can unbaptize myself.
Huh. And it might be partially because it sounded like you were a little bit older. Did you say 6 when you were baptized?
So that was the first attempt. but I did end up having a successful attempt like 2 or 3 years later. So eight or nine, I actually got like real baptized. My mom was like, we need to do this again. So, but her and my dad divorced. So she was like going from church to church. And it was like, we were trying to find the right church to baptize me. It was really weird.
Because you got a full dunk. Like, it wasn't, like, I was a baby, and they just poured water over my head.
Yeah, yeah, you just get in this, like, pool thing. It's, like, half the size of a hot tub, and he's in there with you, like, the pastor. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's got, like, coveralls, like, the fishing gear.
Oh, really?
So he still has his, like, suit and tie on.
Like fly fishing?
Yeah. But it's just, like, overalls all the way up to here, and then he dunks you, so you go under all the way, but he just gets his, like, hands and feet wet, basically, to, like, and he doesn't hold you under like it was.
Yeah, round 2 was smooth.
Yeah, it was a smooth process, you know.
That's cool. I don't know. I don't think I've ever been to like a Baptist wedding either. Is that any? Is that different?
No, just wedding in a church, and then basement's kind of where you do all the, you know, you all eat together and dance a little. I guess I don't remember them being very like. Wasn't that poppin' of a?
Or of a reception.
Yeah, I actually think we went to more of like a American Legion for the reception, I think, just because we were going to serve alcohol and stuff.
Yeah, the reception's got to be the best part.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want to know what's horrible? Hopefully my parents don't listen to the podcast. But like, I remember being in high school and confirmation, like, was just, I went to Catholic high school and the majority of people got confirmed in high school, I think junior year. Like, my brother skipped out on it because he was rebellious, but my sister did it, and then my brother passed, and then I did it. But I remember, like, I've never had the strongest faith, but at the time I was like, I should probably get confirmed so that if I get married one day, my parents will help with the wedding, and that's probably not the best reason to get confirmed.
At the same time, you know, it you know, your parents have spent a lot of time there, and like, you know, if there is one way to build like generational wealth and community, like I was super anti-religion, and like, you know, I deconverted myself around 9 or 10, you know. So, but now I see it differently. Now I see it as, like, that was my parents' community. That was where, when they had divorce troubles and all of that. Yeah. Like, they had somewhere to turn in their community. And, like, I don't know. I guess it's just, you're just paying honor and homage to, like, their community, even if you didn't, like, truly believe it. Like, because as a millennial, like, you know, I don't think religion has really set off in our, like, kind of generation. But.
Yeah, it does seem like. it's becoming less and less popular. Yeah. I could be wrong. I don't know. I want.
I think Gen Z, there's a little bit more. I feel like there's more Gen Z Christians. Back. Yeah, like the little bounce back. Like they've been saying Gen Z is a little bit more conservative too. And I see that. Like
yeah.
Millennials kind of shifted really left. And then this next generation kind of shifts right.
Yeah, we like scared them or something.
Yeah.
Scared them back into the church.
They're like, we're done with Adam Sandler movies. Back to church we go.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do a bit about it, but I haven't yet about, like, how, like it's not uncommon for, like, Catholic families to have, like, 10 kids.
I'm one of 9, actually.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
Because they tell you to fill the quiver. Fill the quiver? With God's arrows, yeah. So all the babies are an arrow for God. So my
and
mom...
And the quiver's your house?
The quiver is like your mom, yeah.
Fill the quiver with
fill the quiver.
Damn, a quiver sounds dirty. Pretty dirty. But like, yeah, I think Catholics have to have like 10 kids or so. Because
birth control's not a thing for Catholics.
It's against.
Yeah, yeah.
Religion.
So I think
sure.
That's like, it's like accidentally, sex. Like, accidentally have 10 kids because you're like, you see your wife, you're like, it's going down.
Yeah, and I feel like they have to because the retention rate in the church is like so low. It's like 10%
yeah,
or
trying
something.
You're trying to make more churchgoers, you know?
Yeah. So if one of your kids, if you want one of them to be in the church, you have to have 10. That's crazy. I don't know. Mass today, it's like meditation, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I remember being a kid going to Mass, and we went a lot. I don't know about you, but we went like 3 times a week at least. Like, twice in school, and then once on the weekend we were expected to go.
We had just Sunday service, obviously, and then there's a Wednesday service.
Yeah.
I think there's more days, but I don't think I went more than that. There was a vacation Bible school during the summer,
so you'd go,
like, 2 or 3 weeks in a row, make, like, tie-dye blankets and talk about Noah's Ark.
Yeah,
that's pretty lit.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I remember a safari-themed one that was quite fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think we had like a dinosaur theme one. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
nice.
But then they don't believe in dinosaurs.
Yeah, but evolution
so,
doesn't happen.
Yeah.
The hell? I remember. I don't know. It was weird being in high school and having like science teachers be like true creationists. It's like, I don't know. Evolution feels like it's pretty proven.
Oh yeah, science class would be crazy if in a Catholic school.
Yeah, it's like...
Because we talked about, like, Pangea. Did you ever learn about Pangea?
In school? Did we learn about Pangea in school? I don't know.
Oh my gosh, like, what was your history class like?
Well, I feel like grade school... Like, in high school, I remember U.S. history the most. In grade school, we had a really good, like, world history teacher. So, in grade school, for sure. But in high school, we probably could have done more. Probably. I don't know. I remember many, like, science and, I don't know, my grade school science program was not good, for sure. It was pretty bad. It was very bad. We watched, like, I don't know. It just wasn't applicable. I remember going to high school and being a bio, and, like, it felt like a new language, and there's a lot that we were expected to already know, and no, like nobody from my grade school knew about.
Did you did you take Latin at all?
Mitochondria was the powerhouse of the cell. No, I took French. Did you take Latin?
I did 4 years of Latin. That's why I want to go to Rome so bad. That's why I'm jealous you've been to Rome.
Yeah, I need to go back for sure. I mean, I was in fourth grade. Like, one of the most memorable parts was being in Rome and getting, like, this, like, puppet, this, like, string puppet. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
They played a lot with them.
And the street performers use them?
Yep.
That's cool.
That stood out. And then I remember being at the Colosseum. That was really cool.
Yeah, translated parts of Caesar's De Bello Gallico. So I'm a big Caesar buff. Julius Whoa. Caesar, so I really want to go see, like, you know, the original Roman roads, all the Roman, you know, architecture that's still there. I really want to see Pompeii as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
But after doing 4 years of Latin, I did 2 more years of Italian, so I could use the Latin, like, stems to, like, speak a little Italian, so I could probably make my way around.
Yeah, that's gotta just give you, like, such a wide vocabulary.
Yeah, and I can translate a little bit of Spanish, but not you know, not fluent whatsoever conversationally at all, but just, you know, if someone said it to me slowly, I could kind of get the gist of what they're getting at.
Yeah, that's impressive. I took 4 years of French. Can't speak a lick. I could ask for a toilet and, like, I don't know. I went to France and I could, like, order meals and stuff. I got around, but I couldn't have, like, a conversation that wasn't in English if I wasn't clearly trying to get something from it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that stood out from being in Italy was that was the first experience I had with a bidet. That was wild. As a fourth grader, it was hilarious and a little scary and cold.
I was telling you I dated an Indian man, like, yeah, last year this time, and he had no toilet paper at his place. It was only bidet.
Whoa.
So I had to learn really quick, like, what this thing's about.
Huh, was it like one of those attachment ones?
Yeah, like it sprays it, like,
yeah. Yeah.
Dude. There's no poop flex on you after that. Like, it's like a shower head. Like,
that's probably the way to do it. Toilet paper. Like, how long is it before everybody realizes that we're wasting a lot with toilet paper?
I mean, how long is it till we realize how dirty American ass is?
Yeah, because it's not good at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know. People eat ass.
Like, America. I told you, like, yes, about firefighters eating ass, and, like, yeah, a firefighter ate my ass, and I wasn't prepared, like, and I didn't use the bidet back then, like, I only just wonder what he tasted now.
He was out of the department for a week.
Look, maybe the mustache, like, helped, like,
fucking clear the debris.
Get through.
Oh, God. That's like Kevin's bit. You think he, fucking kept it for later so he could, you know, like Kevin's bit.
Oh, yeah, Kevin's bit about, pussy juice in his beard.
Yeah.
And how we can smell it later. Yeah, I really...
Having seconds.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I'm definitely haven't ate an ass, haven't let anybody eat my ass. I don't know. I'm not the most ass-inclined person, for sure.
Isn't it, as a Catholic, isn't it like God's blind spot?
Yeah, the poop hole loophole. Yeah, no. I mean, if you're going to break a rule, that seems like you're just half breaking it. You might as well full sin breaking the rule or something. I don't know. That's like, Mormons are really about the loopholes. Like, you see the TikToks from out of, like, BYU, and there's whole, like, threads about, like, what's your favorite loophole? Like, I heard one that was like, oh, they can't have sex outside of marriage, so go to Vegas for the weekend, get married to somebody, have sex, and then get a divorce, then boom, you're good. All good with the Lord.
So much work.
So much.
It's so, like, it's legally on you. Like, I guess there's the 48-hour annulment period, is it?
Oh, that's probably...
So it's like you get 2 days to, like, knock it out, not knock it up.
Man, that is crazy. My parents had a destination wedding in the Bahamas.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm like... Like, they had to find a new venue. Like, the venue canceled on them, like, a month before, but the whole trip was, like, planned, and, like, a bunch of people were going. So they had to, like, find a new venue in, like, short notice. And I know they took a cruise, and I know they lived it up the day of and before their wedding, and they just had, like, quite a time. We did a cruise for their 25th anniversary.
Aw, congrats to them.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago. Are they at 30 yet? Was that over 5 years ago?
I'm about to turn 30. I'm a 95 baby, so.
Yeah, because I think my mom was 30, so that would make her 30, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, and then I popped out like 4 years later.
You're the first born? You're the first?
No, I'm third.
Oh, okay. So, two people popped out first.
They got busy pretty quickly after the wedding, I think.
So, is one of your siblings 95? Wait.
Purchased that. Right.
Okay.
I'm 98. Nobody come after my family.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
Destination weddings are interesting. I personally I think the wedding should fit the couple. So I would want my wedding to be somewhere I met the person or an activity that we both liked a lot. That would I run a lot of shows at Fountain Square. I run a lot of shows at Fountain Square. I would totally have my reception there.
Oh fuck yeah.
That would just
it wouldn't be big enough for my reception, to be honest.
Damn. Yeah, no. How many friends you got?
Way too many.
You actually do have a lot of friends.
Yeah, and huge families.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Both my mom
big
and dad's
Catholic
sides
family.
Are
yeah.
Large. There'd be many people I'd want to invite, and for sure they all can come to the wedding, because that'd be crazy. But then, so the reception's gotta be baller. Probably. Whenever.
Rent out Gainbridge then.
That's what
shoot
I'm
or shoot.
About. That'd be fun. Might as well go to Lucas Oil.
Damn. You got a lot of friends.
Yeah, we'll fill it up. Man, I don't think so. Episode coming out tomorrow, and there's another one queued up with Sparky. So this episode is probably not going to come out for 4 weeks or so.
Okay.
Which is a ways away. But I was about to talk about the show we're going to be on, but that's going to be past at that point. So if you guys missed the show we did, it was amazing. I'm running my first show, Chelsea's featuring act. It's at the If Theater. Hopefully it went fantastic, and we're doing another one that I'll put in the description. a little.
Very excited. What are your thoughts going into that? As a showrunner? And
I'm very excited. I definitely want to fill the place.
I'm a little confused with you kind of have a seat reserve feature, and it's going to be free. So just how that's going to work out. That's just my only curiosity.
Yeah, so I believe there's 64 seats in the theater, and so the If Theater manages all the reservations, and I wanted to for sure do some way of reserving a seat, because I believe in myself. I think we could get 64 people there, so that means unless we just get 64, that means that the 65th person might not be able to watch or come in or whatever, right? Which feels bad, so there's gotta be some way to reserve your spot.
That's true.
I don't know, I'm excited for it. I should be getting data on how many tickets are reserved soon. So should know ballpark what we're working with or
okay,
how much I should push. I think I'm gonna print out some flyers and hang them up. My only concern would be if people reserved a spot and then didn't show up, that would make my heart sad. I don't care if you don't show up, but don't reserve a spot, because that would take away a ticket from somebody else, which would be sad.
Yeah, I almost wonder if you should be 5 minutes after show, if you haven't shown up, then we'll let these people in.
Yeah, that's a policy of the theater. Your reserve ticket, I think 5 minutes before the show, your reserve ticket's given up.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good to know.
I think. I need to read that part of the contract again. But I think it's 5 minutes before the show.
Yeah. But I hope it goes well for you. I've only booked one theater show. It was at the Irving Theater in Irvington.
Oh, cool.
I actually got to do a Kamala Harris benefit. You see how well that went out. But I did my due diligence, with the politics that I believed in, and and all of that. And they honestly took care of all the ticketing and flyers and stuff. It was for Mad Voters Indiana. Shout out to them. They actually, it's kind of like nonpartisan, but it was a little bit more leaning towards, you know, Kamala. And really what they're trying to do is like voter outreach, trying to get like Indiana, Indianapolis itself has like underserved communities, obviously. And so it was just getting voter information, voter registration information to those, like, you know, more suffering communities. And it was just a cause I believed in. And I got to, it was both comedy and drag. So they got, like, three drag queens. And so it was, like, comedy, drag queen. It was a really fun time.
Nice. And you ran that show or you were a featured act?
So I basically booked the comedy acts. I book my own shows under Divine Timing Comedy. Give me a follow if you're watching this. But
it'll be in the description.
Basically, I posted in, so it was this group called Indiana Women for Kamala. And I posted and I said, hey, I'm a comic. I run shows in Indianapolis. I would love to run a show to benefit Kamala. Let me know if anyone wants anything. And it just, that post like exploded on that page. Like, had over 200 likes. And the Indie Fringe, or sorry, not Indie Fringe, the Irving Theater owner, like, reached out to me. And then Mad Voters reached out to me. So I was kind of like, I just put it all together. And then Mad Voters kind of took it from there. It was awesome.
Nice. That's cool. Is it, I'm not familiar with the theater. Is it pretty good size?
It was definitely smaller than yours. It was maybe around 40, 50 seats. It seemed more like an improv kind of theater. Just like seats, maybe five or six rows of seats, and then a really big improv type of stage. But nice. Very beautiful venue. Shout out to the owners of the Irving Theater for letting us host that, and shout out to Mad Voters once again. They were very sweet to me. And
Do you remember who you booked? Was there anybody you were like super excited? Oh, was it? Wait, I would guess CK. Yeah,
CK. Nice. CK shine. So CK already does very left leaning humor. CK did just an amazing job. Like, I honestly had, like, I was kind of struggling to find a headliner, and now looking back, like, I should have just given CK 30 minutes, like, to do her thing.
Yeah.
But I had CK, I had Jean B. Arnett, who goes by Miss Up Close and Personal, and she's kind of a, she's a poet and an art, and a comic, so she did a little bit of both, like some slam poetry to talk about, like, what this election meant to her, and it just, like, it gave me chills and stuff, like, what she was able to do.
Yeah.
I also had... headlining. I had Jeanette Perez, who did a fantastic job. She always kills with whatever time I give her. She's honestly a lot of times is my headliner when I do book her.
Nice.
She's been doing comedy maybe more than 10 years at least. I don't want to say 20 and offend her, but she's definitely been doing comedy a very long time.
That's cool. Dang,
probably one other comic I booked. Oh yeah, Kay Banks I had on there. Nice. Kay is so funny. She's definitely also left leaning, so her material worked perfect. So just I felt like I had the right comics for the job for that one.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Did you like by any chance get any like pushback from anybody or like did
Luckily, because Mad Voters did all of the advertising and they did it sort of within their networks. They even like had VIP seating, like that was really cool. So they had little like gift bags for the VIPs. So because they were able to, and I was worried about that, like working with drag queens. Not that I disagree with drag queens, but like I was worried like marketing something with drag queens, like what that would, you know, what the pushback would be. But because they handled a lot of the marketing like internally, I really didn't face that. Yeah, nice. That's a good question though.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Like, comedy is very subjective, and I'd like to think it's not political, but it can get political pretty quick.
We're kind of encouraged not to be political, and this was like a good gig because we were able to be as political as we wanted to be. You know, we could say what we wanted. You know, the quiet parts out loud that this election has a lot to do with our lives, and you know, seeing our tariff war now, we could be in not a tariff war, you know, if our candidate had won. But it was just a good opportunity for that.
Yeah, I do love, I don't know, I like poking at the system a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely try not to, like, I don't know, like, I, never on the podcast have I been like, I'm this side or I'm that side, because I think, like, I don't know, it like cripples the conversation from the get-go. And I try to stay, like, ambiguous with jokes too. Like, I don't want to, like, you don't want to split the room in half.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. You don't want to split the room.
Yeah.
Because if you say something, you know, where you're talking shit about Republicans and half the room is Republican, you've just lost 50% of the people that you want to laugh, because they're going to stop listening because they think you're just going to throw liberal BS at them.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets, I don't know, tense, which isn't good. I feel like there's some, like, I saw Cat Williams this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And he, like, I don't know, he definitely has politics in his comedy. There's also, like, a part of it that is, like, you have to sell yourself, and most people, I don't know, you have to have some sort of brand that you are behind. And it doesn't have to be politics, but a lot of people do go political in that route of, like, I don't know, developing an identity.
Yeah. And I respect that. I respect when a comic, you know, develops who they are. I mean, Crackers definitely had an environment where Crackers Comedy Club just closed, but they had an environment where they were definitely supporting more of the right-leaning comics. You know, kind of created a perfect environment for them. Where,
yeah,
I don't
even
think
just the name Crackers sounds
sounds very right leaning, yeah, for sure. But you know, it you know, those people are going to exist no matter what. That's 50% of America. Yeah. So, you know, whether or not they have a place to really practice their material now is you know, practice it the way they were at Crackers, you know. I don't think they really have that kind of platform anymore. Maybe more of those smaller town mics, but yeah, Crackers kind of, you know, there's good and bad to that, but, you know, them having their own voice, and
yeah,
there's not a lot of right-leaning comics. I think comedy is pretty dominated, you know, late night, you know, all of those shows.
Yeah, for sure.
John Oliver, very, very left-leaning, so I think comedy in general has kind of been co-opted by the left, and
yeah, I feel like Steve Colbert, like, used to be more right.
Oh, really?
I don't know, maybe I just, that was my perception. I've never been a regular watcher of late night, really, or any particular person. I know
CK loves the hell out of Jon Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Jon Stewart was pretty.
Yeah, he's. I do like how confrontational he can get, and just how stern he will be. That's pretty epic. I don't know, one of the wildest times, I performed at Crackers like a week or two before they shut down, and it was like my fourth, maybe, time performing there, maybe third or fourth. And they, you know, there's the like pre-show meeting with the comics, which was pretty standard. But you could tell, like, Jerry wanted a good show. He thought that the show could have been better, maybe the last couple. And so he was looking for a great, smooth show. And then somebody asked, like, is politics off limits? Because apparently, I don't know, there was a time where they were like, no politics. And, I don't know. Like, rules with comedy get really hairy quickly.
Yeah.
Like, you hear about clean mics, and I don't know, I go to some clean mics, but even, I mean, the definition of clean is just so subjective, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I was working with a venue that employed trans people, so for some of my shows, I would tell comics, please, no trans jokes. There's literally a trans bartender.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised the pushback I got from these comics who didn't want to stop saying trans humor. And I was like, if you're not personally trans, I just would rather you not, because this hurts the person who's literally pouring your beer that night, your free beer that night that I negotiated for you. And I negotiated pay for you, and it's still a free show. So I just, you know, it was like, it's just hard. It's like, I gave you one thing not to say, and then for another show, did I tell you about the dead baby goat thing?
I don't know about the dead baby goat
thing. So my venue I worked with, they also, like, support animals. So sometimes they'll have little farm animals, like, running around the brewery. And we had a little goat that would come to the Wednesday open mics. And this little goat actually didn't make it.
Was late for the show.
Passed away.
Died.
Yeah, passed away midweek. And then my show was Saturday. And one of the comics that was there at the Wednesday mic commented and said, "Where's the goat?" And I said, "Hey, the goat passed away. Please don't mention it. It really hurts the owner and her daughter who were working that night." And this comic, once again, if you give a comic, a content restriction, it's their choice to use it or not. He led a chant going, "Dead baby go, dead baby go."
Oh my God.
And I'm sitting there cringing, my heart is breaking. I'm watching the owner watch this comic. So, he did what he had to do. He said what he wanted to say. I personally am not going to book him again just because...
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of a clear, I don't want to listen to a single content restriction, which was, please don't mention the venue's very heartbreaking story recently. So.
Yeah.
I'm not a stickler on content. You can say what you want to say. I just, I've really only mentioned those two topics. Hey, if you're not trans, don't do trans humor. Hey, if you're, please don't bring up a dead baby goat that hurt my venue. So, content restrictions are very, very person to person.
For sure. Yeah, and I'm pretty stubborn as a person. Yeah, when somebody says, "Don't joke about this," instinctually I'm like, there's probably a bunch of jokes I can say about that. But it is like a respect kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. There's just been many of times like my first set about, at Crackers was my first set. Well, I went up at Helium, and then the second time I went up was at Crackers, and the title of the YouTube video is "Joke About Anything Set" or something like that, and that was just kind of my ongoing theme of that set. Was you can joke about anything, and so I joked about suicide and 9/11 and my friend that had recently passed, and the subject matter was pretty rough, for sure, but it got laughs. In terms of, a trans joke, there's definitely, a horrible trans joke that, nobody should say or anything, but I feel like there are healthy trans jokes, maybe, somewhere in the world.
Yeah. If you, if you're not making the apex of the joke, being whether or not they've had surgery, if you're not, I used to write satire in college, so I'm a big proponent of not punching down and punch up, so I don't punch down at people with less social power than me, I punch up at people with more power than me, my boss, or the man, or the government, that's always the funnier thing to me than just punching down on a trans person who has inherently less rights than me right now, So yeah. there are funny things you can make. People make a lot of they them jokes, or Terry's joke about Terry's kid basically transitioned and now goes by they them, and then goes, "I was so supportive of it until guess who supported Tom Brady in the Super Bowl?" Them.
Yeah.
And it's that's a funny joke because he's just using the wordplay of they/them more than making it about not accepting his kids' pronouns.
Yeah,
so I think Terry did an amazing job with that topic.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Trans person can be a subject of a joke without, the joke being about their identity as a trans person.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fine line to walk, for sure. But yeah, you're right. Terry does pretty elegantly walk that line in a very funny way.
Yeah.
So we brought up the theater show. One of the most fascinating things is, I love clubs, but you say you're more of a bar comic.
Yeah, Yeah.
Which, I don't know, just like blows my mind that, I don't know, just clubs have always seemed like the dream, you know?
It goes by my first experience at one of the clubs.
Oh, really?
So I took Goebel's class. This doesn't have anything to do with Goebel, but I took one of Goebel's classes, and Goebel said, you know, just be careful at the clubs. There's a lot of kind of infighting, and the most bullying you'll receive is definitely from the MC that night. And I did another club in town. I'm not going to name them here, but the MC before I got on, I was one of the only females, if not one of the few females that night. Just, he had school bully vibes. He very much was like, what are you doing here? I felt just super unwelcome. Yeah. And I felt like I shouldn't be doing this. And it was my first experience at a club. And I really wanted to be on that stage that night. One of my best friends was in town, so I got to perform for her. My little brother was in town from the Air Force, so I got to perform for him.
Wow.
And it just, like, it kind of just broke my heart outside of, you know, in that green room, him deciding to, you know, really, really try to question and make me doubt myself. Mm-hmm. So that's just, like, why I personally don't. And I don't say I'm not anti-club, but I'm not a club comic. I've had the best times just doing these gigs at breweries and enjoying myself. And if the brewery doesn't have food, I bring in a food truck. And it's just like everyone's happy and having a good time. And the venue's selling beer, so everyone wins. And then I just do a tip jar, and then everyone gets paid. And it's like, I feel like I can make something out of nothing at a brewery versus, like, at a club, there's this sort of political ladder you have to climb, and then, like you saw, like, MCs are kind of trying to throw you off kilter because you would be taking a spot that they would theoretically be wanting.
Yeah, they, like, I have noticed, the last time I was at Helium, I've only gotten to perform at Helium twice. The first time was my very first time doing comedy, and honestly, like, I have nothing but, like, positive memories of that. Like, I remember talking to a couple people, and they thought, or they liked it. And that's all I needed. And then the most recent time, probably a couple weeks ago, I definitely could pick up a vibe of, like, yeah, there are regulars. And there was just one person in particular where I was like, okay, he's definitely, like, trying to psych me out to, like, he doesn't want me to go up there and crush right now. Like, I can tell he doesn't want me to crush.
Yeah.
And that's weird to me. I mean, I get it. I get this is a competition. But, like, I'm gonna crush. So you better raise your own standards. This isn't gonna work on me. I don't know. I didn't get too phased. I wasn't phased by it. But it did, like, annoy me. I was like, I don't know.
I wouldn't be phased by it now. I'm 2.5 years in. I've crushed many a stage. You know, if an MC decided to fuck with me now, I would be like, go pound sand. But I was 2 months
fuck
in.
Yourself,
and I'm a woman. And it's just, there's so much, you know, in this man's world or in this world not built for me, you know, there's so much that, you know, I didn't feel like I belonged. I felt like the outcast. I felt like I shouldn't be going on stage that night, you know, and that's so unfair to make someone feel that way.
Yeah, that's so sleazy. Like, you're, I don't know, it's quite selfish. You're definitely not looking out for the whole show or the whole club. You're just looking out for your own personal interest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's definitely not fun. You're not having a good time when you're doing that. No way you're having fun bullying. You're just sad. You're sad.
Here first.
That's fun. The other thing that's really fascinating is that you've said that you have, like, a favorite type of laugh. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. That made me think a lot. What are some types of laughs from your perspective?
Yeah, so there's your normal, like, ha, 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 ha. You know, that's a typical, you know, you get a good laugh from there. And then the laugh I like the least is, like, this pity laugh. So if you're in a room of just comics and you're doing material they've either heard before or they're just, you know, it's one of those nights where there's a 20-person list and no audience, the type of laugh that comics do is like this. Yeah, so I hate that the most. I think I would rather, you know, put needles in my eyes than look at that. But my favorite type of laugh is this, when you're really crushing and it's like you're going from joke to joke and they're eating it up and they're in the palm of your hands, audiences will do this like belly laugh and I love it. It's like this, it's just like, it's like music to me, and it's the favorite type of laugh I like to do. It's like I'm being kind of like low-key self-deprecating, but the audience is with me,
yeah.
And they're, you know, just every joke, and you can hear them starting, like, I'm not even done with the joke, I'm starting the setup, and you can hear them kind of rumbling still, she's gonna say something else, and so it's just my favorite kind of laugh there is.
Yeah, the giggle, like, I don't know, like, the term, did you have the term slap happy growing up?
Yeah, that's more like with your, when tiredness, maybe? Like,
I don't know, something.
When you get tired and you start giggling a lot?
Yeah, just, like, so susceptible to laugh at anything, almost, and just, yeah, it feels like you could say anything and just keep it rolling.
Sometimes clubs are like that. Sometimes because the audience is kind of already prepped and there to laugh.
Yeah.
Versus like you could, at a brewery, you got to work a little harder. You know, maybe they're 2-3 pints in and they're, you know, there's some hard critics. And yeah. I kind of like breweries for that reason because you're kind of like, you know, you have to be so entertaining to get them away from their conversations among themselves too. So it's a little bit of a uphill battle.
Yeah, for sure. And
do you have a favorite laugh or have you thought of it?
I don't know. I love an outburst, I want a spit take. Like, I want the surprise laugh.
Yeah, that, take them one way, go hard left, yeah.
Like, I want people to be like, I can't believe I laughed at that. Like, the roast battle, that's probably why I have done fairly well, is because I do love the, like, pop and shock of it. And that's just the environment for it, I think. Mm-hmm. You're leaving for Chicago. That's crazy. You've done some shows up there, though, before?
I've done shows up in northern Indiana, and I've done shows in, like, the South Bend region. I already have, like, two shows booked for up there. One's, like, a car show. I'm pretty excited.
Whoa. That'll be cool.
Never done a car show.
So. Yeah, what? That's wild. It's gonna be like on a trailer or something.
Probably. But no, I'm not been able to really crack Chicago. I've booked Chicago comedians hoping they would return the favor, but it feels like it's a little bit harder to kind of crack Chicago, maybe because there's a lot of mid-level comedians fighting for maybe 4 or 5 spots a week.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a pretty hungry city.
So I'm hoping my proximity to Chicago will help me sort of be able to, you know, do some open mics a couple times a week up there and then kind of build organically. You know, I'm not a stranger to the struggle of getting, you know, sought after and booked, but I definitely already have some great connections in South Bend area. Shout out to Charlie Berkeley. And just, you know, some great people I've worked with. South Bend is, like, probably one of my second favorite comedy scenes that I've come across. Just the comics from there are very quality and very nice people. And South Bend is another room that tends to, I get a lot of belly laughs there.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot going on there, but there's also, you know, very, very active audience for comedy.
Yeah. And that's a... Is it a club in South Bend?
There is one club in South Bend. I believe they've relocated to Rocky Bottom, but they are called The Drop.
The Drop. South
Bend. Cool. Shout out to Heather May.
Nice. Yeah, that's fun. I performed once. It was very early. It was last year, like November, maybe early December. And I went to a comedy competition and did, I think, 3 minutes. It was pretty short. That was pretty heavy. I don't know. At that time, I was, like, doing, like, an obscene joke, and I did a Manny Petty joke where I think I don't know if I told you the story or not, but I like accidentally misgendered somebody in the joke. Like, I used to do this dumb mani-pedi bit about like, I've always wanted to get a manicure or pedicure, but I'm afraid they'll uncover my past. Like, I'm afraid of the kind of dirt she'll dig up, right? And that's how I said it. I said she'll dig up, right?
Yeah.
But one of the judges for the comments, that was probably like the third time I said that joke or something, and I had been drinking that day. I went to the Bears-Packers game, and I was like, oh, I'll do that joke, because one of the judges' names was mani-pedi.
Oh.
But it was a guy. And then I said, chill, dig up my past. And I was like, at, like listening back to it, like, I don't know, days later, I was like, oh, I wonder if that was a...
A slight.
Yeah, just like threw everybody off, or...
I don't know,
it could have helped if I... Just, like, with a neutral pronoun or something.
I used to be a phones person at a pizza place. And, you normally can tell by the voice, like, what gender they are. And I didn't realize I was doing that. Like, oh, yeah, hello, sir, or hello, ma'am.
Yeah.
And I totally said, hello, sir. And the person on the other line was like, I'm a woman. Like, I felt so bad. So that was the day I stopped using, like, pronouns at all. And,
yeah.
And I, like, because you kind of have a prompt you do when they call. And I stopped saying, like, sir, ma'am. I just started saying.
Yeah, definitely best to play it safe.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know. I still thought I had a great set. I didn't win the competition, which I was surprised by. But it was an incredibly fun time. Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm doing my mental accounting. you do a lot of jokes about the race day. This is going to come out in May, close to the race. You're wearing the race hat. That's exciting, but you probably won't be around for the race this year.
I won't be, I'm sad.
I don't know if I will be either. I mean, I don't know. There's a show in Michigan.
Yep, I've taken Evan to Ypsilanti, Michigan for a show with my friend Tommy Cook. Shout out Tommy.
Shout out Tommy.
For a gig. He runs a show called Depot Town Comedy. I think he said it's a theater. It's either theater or brewery. I'm not remembering that detail right now, but he definitely said, you know.
I'm excited either way. That's,
you know,
cool.
You can come and bring some comics with. And totally sweet guy. I actually met him. I did two open mics in Cincinnati one night. So I did the Chameleon open mic.
I heard that one's good.
Really cool. It's like a pizza place. Nice. And then the second one, it's a coffee shop. So they have a coffee shop mic, and then they have the Chameleon mic. So I did two mics that night, and I met Tommy at the second one. Tommy's actually a guitar comic.
Whoa.
So he'll probably be playing some guitar that night. So.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh,
so.
I'm hyped. That's cool.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
I don't know any guitar comics. I don't know any, like, musical comedians or, like, not.
Yeah, we really don't have any up here.
Jalen is a musical.
Yeah, he's a comic that does music. Yeah. Right. I don't think he combines them, yeah.
No, not yet, at least. I still need to come up with some sort of comedy song to get comics back at Smocktown. I really want to perform a comedy song
there. I really wanted to try comedy there, but yeah.
It was such a fun vibe there for a good while. I still love the place, but it's definitely in a new phase, a new era. Let's see, you're going to be even further away from IU. Can I say that on here? You are a fan of IU as well. Pacers,
yeah.
IU,
Pacers,
racing.
IU, yeah.
Really just all about sports, yeah?
You know, I didn't always grow up that way. It was more of an artsy type,
yeah.
You know, as an oboist.
Yeah.
And, you know, did the marching band. I did the percussion, and I also did color guard, so I did the flags.
Oh,
so,
nice.
That was my high school experience. But I got to college, and I was kind of like, I really want to step away from music. I want to kind of make my own friends, because I felt like in high school my friends were all the marching band dorks, and they have their own drama, and they have their own little infighting and all that, so I wanted to kind of...
Like, I heard I mean, so many stories from Bandcamp.
Bandcamp's where boys become men, for sure. It's where everyone has their first kiss, and, you know, I think all the trumpet players, like, dated each other at one point.
The trumpet players?
The trumpet players, for some reason, were the horniest.
Damn.
Not a pun, but could be.
Yeah, I definitely played trumpet in, what, 6th and 7th grade? 6th grade? Maybe just 6th grade.
Damn, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go.
Just, I didn't know that's why I picked trumpet until
now. Just have that high drive. Yeah.
So you were in the color guard in, what, color guard in high school and then marching band in grade school? Or you couldn't have done those at the same time, could
so
you?
I did color guard for 3 years and then I did the frontline percussion for the marching band. Color guard's involved in the marching band.
Right.
So I was in the color guard for 3 of those years, and then the 4th year, I was in the frontline percussion. I don't need to go there, but, there were some internal things in the color guard that I just wanted to step away from. My sister ended up getting to be the captain that senior year, so it gave her the room to sort of spread her wings, so I was glad to give her that space. Me and my stepsister were in the same grade, so, you know, it was able to give her that space to kind of lead the color guard and me to kind of do my own thing with, more of the band kids, and it ended up working out.
Yeah. A little bit of space is definitely good, for sure. Like, I remember when my brother was, like, thinking about joining, like, we got lacrosse sticks, and he was, like, thinking of going out for the lacrosse team, and I was like, yo, maybe I'll go out for the lacrosse team. And I think it just annoyed him. So sorry about that one, Aaron. But yeah, you know, I'm pretty much high school, on the bowling team. That was like my extracurricular for sure.
Oh yeah, we took you bowling a couple weeks ago and you had a nice arc.
Yeah, thank you.
For duck pin.
Yeah, I remember in high school whenever I go duck pin bowling for like, we'd always go at Christmas time and then I'd go back to normal bowling. I would really suck at normal bowling. I don't know why, but
just bowling in a different font.
Yeah. I love Duckman Boy. Man, I love Fountain Square. That's such a good area.
Yeah, I love hanging out there. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, the territorial part of comedy seems so weird. But Fountain Square seems, like, fairly open to, like, pop off with shows all the time. It feels like there's shows there so often.
Yeah.
It's such a good area.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to run a show at Fountain Square someday.
Yeah, I mean, the owner's definitely open for it. You know, if you can get people to come, that's kind of her big thing. It's just,
yeah.
She doesn't want an empty room for the show. Yeah. But if you can poster and advertise, you know, she's super, super works with you.
Yeah, this IF Theater show needs to pop off so I can have some credibility, you know.
That's why I have the binder of all my posters. Is because when I go to a new venue, I say, here's the show. Here's the show I've run. Here's the show I've run. So it shows that I have had successful shows and, you know, I'd say a large part of them have been 85% fill or more. So kind of having that little, like a portfolio, I know you're talking about a portfolio for your architect type business, but like almost like a comedy portfolio.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be cool to start because I have a flyer. I should have got a flyer from the Colonial Tavern, the first showcase I did. I'm going to be sad about that for a while now I'm realizing that. Yeah, this portfolio thing is a great idea. What? I'm going to start that. That's genius. Cool. I got it online. I'll just print
it. Yeah, just print it yourself. Yeah.
Cool.
You're a big printer guy of the 3D sort.
Yeah. You want to know the weirdest, stupidest part? I got, I think, 5 3D printers here. Not a single 2D printer.
So print the poster in 3D.
Yeah, <that'd be laughs>
just
good.
Your face. That'd be kind of cool. Like,
I can laser etch it.
Oh, that's cool.
It should probably catch on fire. Is there anything else you want to talk about or anything? I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty much through my list here. You want to promote anything? Talk about anything else?
Don't have a lot going on. Well, I do have actually two more shows that will be happening after this is released. So June 21st, Summer Solstice, I'm running a show at Found Square Brewing, who we've talked about a lot. Still building the lineup for that. And then I guess the poster will be out, but a very exciting venue in August. Their first foray into comedy. I have gotten Healer DIY to agree to one show this year.
Whoa.
Very hype. A very big honor considering they've said no to other comics who have tried. Whoa. Including yourself. Did you say you?
They didn't tell me no.
Just never responded.
No, they responded. I just didn't book it. I mean, they told me how much it would be, you know, and I was like, not good.
Oh, okay, got it.
And I wanted, like, at that time, I was more so looking at doing, like, a regular, like, open mic every Thursday, which is still what I'm looking for. It just didn't seem like the right fit, but they were open to it. Yeah, they were cool.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic video. It's epic. Yeah, if we can talk about it.
I think you're going to host that one for me.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I knew I was on. I just didn't know what role.
It's between you and Bowden. It was like Bowden's going to host Fountain Square June, and then you're going to host August. So.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I may need your help just because I'll be still out of town, but just if you could poster and stuff and help me out there. But very excited. Very much. Been keeping it under wraps because the comedy scene is full of, people that would want to take that. And, so it's been sort of a secret. I put it on my comedy schedule as booking at secret venues. So
yeah, I did see that.
I've been very hidden about that just because I started running shows at Fountain Square Brewing. And then I felt like every comic and their mother started running shows there. So I was kind of like, I get it, Fountain Square. Fountain Square, is just a supporter of the arts no matter what. So I'll never fault them for working with a ton of comics, but I just don't want to oversaturate a venue.
Yeah.
And so I want to break into venues no one's doing comedy. That's kind of my dream. I did a Books and Brews show, and that was so fun. Nice. I called it Comedy by the Books. And
nice.
It was really fun. Shout out to Books and Brews Brownsburg.
I think Jalen did a show there. I saw Jalen do a show there, perform music there a while ago. That was sweet.
Cool.
But yeah, the Healer I've been to once, and it is such like a curated space.
Very cool. It's like installed art spaces everywhere, so that one room is like all these TVs and antennas, and it's like radios. Other rooms are like mirrors. Other rooms like crocheted all the walls. Other rooms like there's a dragon.
Yeah, it's like cozy or eerie, just depends what part you're standing in. Yeah. But there's so many like places to discover. It's like such a great photo place.
Yes,
that's gonna be awesome. I'm really looking forward to going to that.
Being on
that, hosting that, that's gonna be happy.
Yeah, tell your friends and family, come out for that one. That's gonna be really cool.
Do you have to bring your own chairs?
I will talk to them about that. I don't recall if that was discussed, but when I did the Ari Sports did a comedy show there last year that I was on. Shout out to him, and there were chairs already, so I don't know if he brought them or if Healer has them. So I'll definitely reach out.
Yeah, cause I think I asked him, and they said they didn't, because they do like a lot of raves and stuff, like
concerts. Yeah, it's all like standing room. Yeah, right. That's good. Yeah, I should probably book some chairs for that. If not.
We'll figure it out. We'll rave to comedy.
Standing room comedy.
Hell yeah.
Standing while watching stand-up. Crazy.
Get everybody dancing with some punchlines.
I'm kind of curious if they'd let me do a food truck, because I'm very big on the food trucks at my shows.
So, I'm sure they'd be cool with that.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Oh, when I was there last time, I was like in the middle of making a board game with my friends, and there was somebody there that like made a role-playing game that they were selling, and I bought it, But then I left it in my friend's car who lives in like Fort Wayne, and he took it to Fort Wayne, so I never got to play the game, but I was so excited to be like, oh my gosh, it's like independent game makers made a game, pulling it off and selling it, just like we're trying to do. And then I never got to play it. I was so bummed.
Aww.
Yeah, I need to get that back. Riley, yo, where's that game? Come on the podcast. Let's play the game. All right. Well, you want to wrap up?
Yeah,
should we
sure.
do the intro? All right, Rick. Welcome to the Friends with Differences podcast. Chelsea Stead, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was fun. Covered a lot, including topics like your big new life career move, your comedy career so far, what you got going on, what shows you have coming up.
Our upbringings, you in the Catholic space, me in the Baptist space. Just our differences with the, you know, our experiences with the clubs, comedy clubs in general.
Yeah. Yeah, what we're, like, going for with comedy, what we're trying to get at.
Yeah, content restrictions.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Super fun. And then doing comedy and being political as well. So yeah. just walking that fine line. It's a great time. Thank you for having me.
What a time. Well, thanks again for coming on. And enjoy the episode. Peace.
Friends with differences.